Our New Testament lesson comes today from our series on James, from the fifth chapter today, verses 13 through 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of God.
People of God, let us pray together. Gracious God, we come seeking your word. We gather together in your name to pray and to sing you praise and to do the work that you have called us to do. And so open our ears and open our hearts that we might hear again your word proclaimed. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew 18, beginning at verse 10. Jesus said, "Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, in heaven their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of that one who went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have been traveling together through the book of James, and it comes to an end today. James has called us to practical and visible living of our faith. He has encouraged us to be doers, not merely hearers of the word. He's reminded us that God does not play favorites and that we shouldn't either. We've been reminded of the power of the tongue to curse and to bless. We've been warned against being friends with the world and against judgment of one another. We have been called to be patient in suffering, to endure in our faith. We've talked about the impact of anxiety and how hard it is to be faithful in all things. Finally, in his book, James turns us to community. He turns us to remind us that not only do we need God, we need one another. It is prayer and the power of community that changes things. It is prayer and the power of the gathered body of Christ that breaks down the barriers and draws us together and restores our faith. Not only are we sinners who are in need of a Savior, we are people of God who are called to seek out to find and to offer the lost as well. In his close of his letter, James returns his readers to the call, to the need for connection and the living body of Christ, not only for the sake of our world, but for our sake as well. Holding on to the call into community, we turn also to the gospel, to the words of Jesus that are familiar, but they're challenging if we read them carefully. Take care, Jesus says. Take care that you do not despise any of these little ones. So what does he mean by despise? Because we're not supposed to hate anybody, right? And who are these little ones that Jesus is concerned with? If you read earlier in his chapter, Matthew is specifically pointing to those who have wandered off, specifically to those who have gotten lost along the way, who have been disassociated with the community of faith. Do not condemn, cut off, or reject those who have wandered, Jesus says. It says that God is particularly concerned with those who have wandered. What do you think? He says. If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 in the mountains and go in search of the one who went astray? So what do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and they are pastured in the mountains, wouldn't he be out of his mind to leave 99 sheep unattended, free to wander off themselves, to go look for one silly, lost sheep? Who cares about the one? What difference does it make? All of our human instincts say, no, the value is in the numbers, right? It's the 99 that are important. One little lost sheep out of 100, that's not such a big deal. It's if another 10 wander off while the shepherd is away, that we then need to start being concerned. Aren't 99 more valuable than one? But Jesus says, truly I tell you, if he finds it, he will rejoice over the one more than the 99 who never went astray. If he finds it. That's a pretty big if, isn't it? It's a big chance to take over one silly lost sheep who's wandered off. All of our human instincts say that we need to preserve the 99. We need to keep them safe. We're supposed to protect the group, right? Forget the one. It is the whole that matters. All of our human instincts point us to preservation of the group. And what is really clear is that this is not God's way. It's ours. Who would leave 99 sheep in the middle of the mountains and go looking for one silly sheep who's wandered off? That would be Jesus. Jesus would do that. Who is more concerned with the one by itself who is lost and alone than the 99 who are gathered in a tight little community and are safe and secure? That would be Jesus. Jesus says, it is the will of your Father that not one of these little ones should be lost. It is the will of God that the lost and the lonely and the wandering and the scattered would be gathered together back into the flock. Because in the eyes of God, one sheep matters. Because God isn't working on a balance sheet the way we human beings do. God isn't working on scales that say 99 and one. So who cares about the one? God is working on an individual basis, which contradicts most of our human wisdom, doesn't it? It reminds us that God's ways are not our ways.
Now, these words are hard to hear if you're one of the 99 who's never wandered off, right? Doesn't God care about me? What about me? If you're not the sort to have wandered, if you've always stuck to the safety of the flock and the presence of the shepherd, it can be hard to hear. If you've worked hard to abide with the flock and to stay close and secure, it can be hard to hear that the shepherd is out there looking for the one lost sheep, because we'd really like him to be in here with us too, right? We really want that. But if you've wandered, if you've ever felt lost or disconnected, if you've ever found yourself out there alone, it matters that the shepherd is looking for you. You matter. When you have been lost and vulnerable, when you have been in danger, when you have been in your deepest need, the shepherd has been seeking you. Now, God isn't going off in search of the lost members of the flock because the flock doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't say that the 99 are irrelevant. Jesus doesn't say that the 99 don't matter. I think what he's saying is that the community is united and is called to make sure that the 99 stay where they're supposed to while the shepherd is out looking for the one. Because we are the ones who are called to love the unloved. We are the ones who are called to mutually support and encourage and uphold and call one another to account. We are given freedom to abide in Christ. And so we need each other. This is why the body of Christ matters. This is why church matters. You can believe in Jesus on your own, by yourself. You can read your Bible. But that doesn't pursue and push you and encourage you and challenge you and keep you united to the flock that lifts you up in community. Community matters. Yes, individual faith matters, but community matters too. Because we are not just in relationship with Christ, we are in relationship with one another. It's not just vertical, it's horizontal. We need the communal character of the Christian life in order to stick together, in order to bear one another's burdens. When the church is at its best, when we are at our best, we are the people of God nurturing, supporting, and caring for the 99, and we are joining the shepherd out there, looking for those who are lost and alone. When the church is at her best, we are not content to just hang out together and enjoy each other's company. We are looking for others who are lost or alone, who need to come into our community. When we are at our best, we are seeking to go deeper in our faith, even as we go wider into our community. We are welcoming the stranger and calling one another to account as well. When we are at our best, we join Christ with those who are missing and lost and alone, those who have wandered and need to feel reconnected to the body. When we are at our best, we are not just concerned with the safety of the 99. We are also concerned about the one, because we are joining the shepherd. But we're not always at our best, are we? We are not always at our best. We are all guilty sometimes of putting up barriers that protect ourselves, that maybe keep somebody else out. We have insisted over time on having things done our way, whether or not other people understand. We have wanted to build fences to make sure that the 99 stay put in the flock and don't get lost out on the mountains. We are not always at our best. We want to keep out the wolves, and sometimes that means we keep out the other sheep. We are not always at our best, but that's when we need the gospel too. It's when we need to be reminded that we also are the lost and the lonely, that we also wander away sometimes. We need to be reminded that Jesus cares deeply about us as well. Every time we set aside our own agendas, welcome someone else, take down the walls that we build around our hearts, God rejoices. Every time we welcome a stranger or are welcomed ourselves, God rejoices. Every time we seek to restore a broken relationship, Jesus celebrates. Every time we set aside our own sense of security or our own desire to have it our way, God says, good job. Mercy, James says, triumphs over judgment. Perfect wisdom is not perfectionism. Perfect wisdom is the single-hearted focus on the will of God. This is the faithful call to the church, to our church, that we might not just persevere and endure, but encourage one another. Because none of us is an island. None of us by ourselves is going to be able to sustain our faith. We are not created to go it alone. We are not created to just do it ourselves. That's why we need a shepherd in the first place, because we are sinners in need of a Savior. We need the others in the community of faith. We need the other 99 sheep. The work of the shepherd is not merely for the lost sheep and inviting them to believe in him, but for the lost sheep also to find a home and a place of refuge. It is not just about finding that one lost sheep, but also about restoring that sheep to the community of faith, to security and pasture with the other sheep. Caleb and I went this weekend on the confirmation retreat that was being held at Stronghold Retreat Center. And part of what was so profound about that retreat was that it spoke to this. There were 9 churches there. 9 different Presbyterian churches, from the Quad City to Rockford to Morris to Hickory Hills to LaGrange. 9 churches and about 50 people. Now, those are not large churches then, right? Those are not huge confirmation classes that are running retreats individually, but rather the pooling of resources, the pooling of wisdom, the pooling of these children together to learn more about their faith and to challenge them to see that they are part not only of a church, but of a Christian community that is not limited to a church, but that the church is far bigger than we understand it to be. That the Church of Christ is about all of us together, that we are just one little section of the 99. We are just one little piece. We are called to be the kind of flock that seeks out and welcomes people where they are and brings them into the community. We are called to be the kind of flock where the lost and the broken and the lonely are welcomed and invited to be a part of the community. We are called to be the kind of flock where everyone, regardless of ability, has something to offer into the community. We are called to be the kind of flock who rejoices with the shepherd when that one little lost sheep rejoins the fold. If any among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save not only that sinner's soul from death, but will cover a multitude of sins. We are called to be the kind of people who are willing to go and meet people where they are and invite them to be a part of what Christ is doing in this world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have said that one matters, that each one of us matters. And so we pray for the ones who are heavy on our hearts. We pray for the ones who have wandered and who are lost, and we pray for ourselves when we feel lost and alone. We pray for your community of faith, for your family that you have created. We ask that you would bless us and bless our brothers and sisters throughout this world. In your name we pray. Amen.